Turn in your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Last week we talked about confession and blessing. This week I'd like to make a few comments about this half of the scripture about confession and cursing. The verse in particular that we want to look at, that I'll read, and I want you to read with me, we'll read that, and then I'd like to go back and read this verse in context. The verse that I would like you to look at first is Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 24. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. Now let's read this in context. If you go back to the beginning of Deuteronomy, verse 1. Now to come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And there follows verse after verse after verse of blessing upon obedience. And then we come down to verse 15, and it says, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of his commandments and the statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursings, confusion, rebuke, and all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land that you're going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, severe burning fever, the sword, with scorching, with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And your heaven, which is over you, over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down upon you until you are destroyed. And so Scripture goes on with even more curses. This morning, why do those curses come? Scripture says that the curse causeless shall not come. Let's put this in historical context, if we may, this morning. 1989, there was a supertanker, Valdez oil spill. It was a massive ecological disaster. Oil is naturally toxic. Virtually all of the cleanup crew that had direct contact with the oil have now passed away due to toxic fumes, etc. In comparison, if you've been watching the news or the alternative news, we don't have a spill, we have a blowout. Something called Deepwater Horizon, the deepest well ever sunk. It's the equivalent of one Valdez supertanker spill per week. And there is no end in sight. To that disaster, BP has added over 1 million gallons of a dispersant that is four times as toxic as the oil. The Gulf is soon becoming a dead zone. No oxygen. Now, I'm not trying to be fear-mongering. I'm trying to lay out what I've understood to be the case. There is a very near potential of evacuation of 10 to 20 million people in that area because you can't breathe the air because of the toxic fumes. There's four times as much toxic fumes coming out as there is oil. And we're coming into the hurricane season with the prospect of picking up that water and bringing toxic rain and dumping it and dispersing it on the land. If that wasn't bad enough, there's methane coming out in great quantities, could be struck by lightning, and set off a big wave. And if that wasn't bad enough, there's potential of superheated water setting off a tsunami. Now, isn't that something that is just bizarre? Now, we believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. So do Muslims. We believe that God controls history. So do Muslims. But more importantly, we believe that God is a person with moral character, and that's not the God of Islam. Our God, the God of Scripture, has a character. He has a moral character, an ethical character, and he acts as a person in his sovereign affairs in history. All of God's sovereign acts are based upon his holy character. To say that God acts personally is to say that God acts covenantally, to use a more theological term. God's covenant with man is 100% ethical in nature. God uses the physical world to bless and to curse based upon his holy character. In response to man's obedience or disobedience to his covenant, we can trace the human frailty as to why this blowout at the bottom of the ocean has happened. But as we understand the world from God's Word, why is the entire Gulf of Mexico turning into a toxic toilet? Why have we seen oil now in the rainfall in North Carolina? Why are we seeing the unfolding of probably the worst ecological man-made disaster in the history of the world? Not looking at what man has done, let's look at what God has done and is doing. God is implementing his holy covenant. So ultimately, how do we fix this kind of ecological disaster? I would submit not by hiding it with dispersants so 90% of it stays under the surface. I would submit we're not setting off a thermonuclear explosion as was done by the Russians being contemplated. There's only one way to fix this: through an appeal to the holy God who controls heaven and earth. There's only one way to fix it, and that is at its core, at its root, and that is with addressing the issue of sin and rebellion against God's covenant. We have laid before us the curses as well as the blessing. The ultimate cause of all things is God's covenant. So how do we, you and I, what can we do to participate in lifting this curse from our land? It's what we do every Sunday. We confess our sin before God. Because the blessing begins with confession of sin, God's blessing upon righteous behavior. That begins with us individually, but covenantally it applies to us as families and as a nation as a whole. The curse, causeless, does not come. So if you will, pray with me as we offer up to God a prayer of confession of sin individually and corporately. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are a personal God. We acknowledge your sovereign hand over all the affairs on earth. We acknowledge that the earth is your creation and nothing is out of your control. We acknowledge your covenant, which we have read a portion of this morning, that tells about how you are the cause of blessing and how you also bring about curse. And we read about how it is all tied to your character, your sovereign will, and your covenant of how you have decreed that you will deal with man on earth. Father, as we look at this catastrophe that our nation is facing, which is only beginning to unfold, we acknowledge our sin as a nation for not bowing to you as the sovereign source of all economic prosperity, all material wealth, all health, and not to our technology. Father, we acknowledge that we have, as a nation, exalted ourselves before you. And Father, as your people of God, we acknowledge that you are the source of blessing as well as curse. Father, we pray for healing. We pray that you will forgive us of our sins. We pray that we will walk humbly before you, individually, as families. And Lord God, we pray that even through this event, you will cause it for good. This morning, we read about how sin brought death and destruction, catastrophe into David's life, a man after God's own heart. Lord, we're not any more righteous than David. But just as David proclaimed, you are our God. We look to you for our hope. And we confess our sins to you, asking you for forgiveness this day as we come into your presence to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.